Hi, and welcome to another episode of Desert Island Dishes with me, Margie. Thank you to everyone who's subscribed so far. Welcome to the gang. Little bit of housekeeping to kick off today's episode. Have you rated and reviewed Desert Island Dishes yet? Because if not, hot-footed over to iTunes and do it. It only takes 10 seconds and you can count it as your good deed of the day. It's the first day of December today, which means we can officially start to get excited about Christmas. Although excitement is often mixed with panic at the number of unbought presents and things to do. I actually need to get my hands on an advent calendar as no one seems to have bought me one. My mum normally does, but apparently she's forgotten. Today is a really exciting episode with the legend that is Levi Roots. What he's achieved is amazing and so inspiring, and he's so nice. I love Dragon's Den, and his episode always stays with me as a really memorable one, and it's just been great to see his career skyrocket since the show. We recorded this episode in Levi's restaurant, or Rastaurant, as Levi calls it, although I am nowhere near cool enough to call it that. So there is some atmospheric background noise, which I actually kind of like. Without further ado, here is the man himself. Well, I wondered whether you might treat us to a tiny snippet of a Levi Roots song to introduce yourself.
So nice with your fried chicken, make burgers finger licking, on your barbecue, on your drumsticks, put some reggae sauce on your dish.
Oh my goodness, my heart's beating so fast. What an introduction. That's made me so happy. Welcome, Levi Roots.
Hi.
So you were born Keith Valentine Graham in Jamaica, and after your parents moved to the UK when you were four, you were brought up by your grandparents until you did eventually move to Britain at the age of 11. I read a really beautiful article about you and your grandmother, so I thought maybe we'd dive straight into talking about your first desert island dish of the day, and that is, what is the dish that most reminds you of your childhood?
What? I think porridge.
Porridge?
Porridge, yes. My grandma was a fantastic porridge maker.
Ooh.
And actually, I just recently did a BBC radio program about porridges.
Oh my goodness.
Yes, it's never been done before about porridges. And it was really, really good to see how important porridge is around the world and connect that to do with my grandma.
Yeah.
Who would make porridge out of anything. She would make porridge out of cornmeal, you know, porridge out of plantain. She'd make banana porridge.
Oh my goodness.
All sorts of fabulous porridge. As kids, it was just something that you just put in one pot. And it was very cheap to make oat porridge, you know.
Yeah.
But kids would have a bowl of that and you wouldn't be hungry again until lunchtime.
Yeah. So was
that was the trick.
Yes. Was that something you would have for breakfast or would you have it for any meal? But
right throughout the day, you would serve porridge in Jamaica, because the difference with porridge in Jamaica, you don't eat porridge. You actually drink porridge.
Oh my God, so I love the sound of that.
It can be a way of opening up the appetite at times, as well as it can be a nice thick one that starts in the breakfast time and you wouldn't want anything to eat again until perhaps lunchtime.
Oh my goodness.
So that's really useful.
Yeah, that sounds really good. So I read that you said that you didn't get the same education as your older siblings because there were six of you.
Yeah.
But you felt looking back that your grandmother was teaching you to cook and kind of giving you the skills that you needed to make your living, which is so lovely.
Absolutely. It really was. You know, it's an idyllic life I lived as a young kid. I had no idea what was happening around me. And I didn't ask the question like, where was mom and dad?
Yeah.
Because I didn't really notice that, you know, they had flown away to the UK to build a better life for us. And the trick was for them to send for us one every year. But the only thing I noticed that was when I was missing one of my brothers and sisters every year.
Oh.
I think, where is he or she? And so they've off to the UK. Until finally it was my time, you know, and I wasn't expecting that at all.
Yeah.
I thought I was going to be with my granny forever, you know. I had more room in the bed now and I had her to myself. And I thought this was it. It was life. And then finally, you know, my suitcase arrived and it was time for me to leave.
Oh my goodness. That's so hard to imagine now, isn't it? How did you feel when you got over here?
Well, it's always a tearful moment when I think of that time, because it was a lot of tears. Because you can imagine I was I was 11. I couldn't read or write. It was very scary thinking that I'm going to go away and I'm not going to have the person who was mom and dad to me.
Yeah.
She was everything. You know, I didn't know these two strange people that was over in the UK that was waiting to receive me.
And it must have been so hard for her as well.
It was, because she had to actually wave goodbye every year to one of her charges, you know, and she knew that I was going to be the one that when I left, it was going to be like a, you know, a sweet spot.
Yeah. Are you trying to say you were her favorite, Levi?
No. But yeah, I think she had a little place in her heart for the youngest, I think, to look after him. And my mom probably gave her that, you know.
Yeah, Levi, there's no getting around
take care
it.
Of him,
the,
yeah.
The youngest are the best. Yeah. So you sold your reggae sauce at Notting Hill Carnival and then at Brixton Market before finding fame on Dragon's Den in 2007, where Peter Jones and Richard Farley each bought 20% of your business. What made you decide to go on Dragon's Den, and what was it like actually being on the show?
What? I'm going to say that I must be the first person or the only person that's ever gone into Dragon's Den that I'd never seen the show.
What?
That I'd never heard of Peter.
What?
I've never heard the word Dragon's Den ever until I was actually on the show.
Oh my goodness. But how did you apply?
I never applied.
What?
I was spotted by one of the producers while I was being a typical fool that I normally am when I'm out in those days trying to promote the sauce.
Yeah.
I was at an exhibition and I was playing the song on my guitar and I had the crowd around me and they were like really in tune to this mad rasta man who's singing this song called Reggie Reggie Sauce Song. Back in those days, I doubt if anybody could pronounce the term reggae.
Yeah.
So reggae, reggae.
I was suddenly just Reggie, thinking, Reggie. My goodness, have I been saying it wrong?
And I was there doing my thing and she came over, a producer from the show, and tapped me on the shoulder and asked me, you know, would I like to be in Dragon's Den? And I actually told her to get out of my face because I didn't understand what it was.
Go away, and, you crazy lady.
Yeah, and even after the few weeks that I had in between that my kids were, you know, when I told my kids that I was approached by this program called Dragon's Den, and they watched the show, they were saying, Dad, you know, don't do Dragon's Den, you know. No, Rastaman is not going to slay no dreadlocks. And you better look it up on YouTube or look it up on the internet. I refused to do that. I completely refused. I had 2.5 weeks in between that space. And I refused to look. My kids were coming in front of me and trying to show me it on television and show me pictures. I'm saying, look, I don't want to be beaten before I get there.
Yeah.
You know, I know about Eyes Wide Shut. There isn't a danger at all.
Yeah.
I don't know anything about these guys.
I think that's really sensible, actually, not knowing what you're going into.
Yeah. I think they were trying to protect me in some ways.
Yeah.
You know? I think my kids, they were saying, Dad, you've made a name with yourself with music. And everyone knows you as Levi Roots.
Yeah.
You know, you're nominated for a Mobo Awards. You know, you've done everything in music. Stick with that. We're proud of you.
Yeah.
Don't ruin it by going sing a song on Dragon's Den and a show about business and enterprise.
Don't embarrass us at school, Dad.
Yeah, exactly. You know.
But showed them. I mean, the absolutely. Dragons fell in love with you.
Well, it's a lesson that I wanted to teach my kids as well. Be yourself. Be you. You know, and for me, having a guitar and singing a song was me. And that's all they've ever known. They don't need their dad to do anything else.
Yeah. Would you recommend going on Dragon's Den to another entrepreneur?
You will have to be the best of you. You know, I'm not talking about being the best business person. That's what everybody else show is trying to do. And how many people get kicked out of Dragon's Den? You have to be the best of you. Because the dragons, or investors for that matter, are looking to always invest in the person.
Yeah.
There's more chance of them investing in you that you will be able to sell the product. Sometimes the product is not very good and you really need a good salesman to be able to bring this through.
Yeah.
So I say to people, do go on, but you've got to be the best of you. Be at the point where you're trying to sell your own self and not the product.
Yeah.
Because they will like the product if it's any good anyway.
Yeah.
But there's a problem if they don't like you.
Yeah, that's really good advice. I think for life, that's good life
absolutely.
Advice. Absolutely. So Levi, the second Desert Island dish of the day, what was the first dish you learned to cook?
Well, the first dish I learned to cook was actually the accompaniment to the dish.
Yeah.
It was actually called fried dumplings. Or in the Caribbean, it's called Johnny Cakes or fritters.
Ooh.
Or festival. And it's a complement to ackee and saltfish.
Okay.
And ackee and saltfish is Jamaica's national dish.
Yeah.
And the ackee fruit is a lovely, wonderful golden red and yellow fruit. That I think it's African in its originality, but it was brought to Jamaica by the slaves. And it is our national tree. Yum. And the fruit is our national fruit. And when you mix that with salted codfish, it becomes the national dish of Jamaica. It's what the Queen has when she goes there. It is
amazing.
Our most important dish. It is a breakfast. You can have it as a dinner as well, but it's mostly seen as a breakfast. And that was the first real dish that my grandma taught me to cook. So I could put the compliment that she had taught me to make earlier.
Yeah.
When I was about 4 or 5, I made my first fried dumpling. And the fried dumpling actually goes with the hake and saltfish. But I wouldn't claim making fried dumpling as any kind of skill, because it's just water and flour.
Okay.
And you just make that. But the hake and saltfish was a proper dish that I had to learn.
I mean, that just sounds delicious. I actually read an interview where you said you shaped your dumplings in the shape of a duck.
Yes, a duck. So
that sounds like a skill to me.
I wouldn't claim that as the first kind of dish. But that was a fun thing to do. It's always great memories when I remember my granny, you know, she's giving me the dough and saying, just make something with it. And the first thing came in my head was to make a duck.
I mean, that sounds very skillful to me.
And that's not my dumplings. That's the shape of them even nowadays.
So when you first created the reggae sauce, were you just making it in your kitchen?
Yes, it was me and my kids. You know, we were in my flat in Brixton. Brixton Market was just about a mile down the road from where we lived. And my kids would be there making the sauce with me. I had a bicycle. And they would pack it, you know, put the sauce in the bottle and pack the bag and say, off you go, Dad. And I had to ride the mile down to Brixton. And I had to make sure that I sold every single bottle in the bag.
Yeah, otherwise those kids
home.
Would be
Absolutely.
Angry.
Absolutely. I would get back and they would refill it again if I was back home too early.
That's
and
so
I would
nice.
Go home and tell. And we became a bit popular in Brixton Market of having this sauce that was now being sold in record shops because of the connection to do with myself, Levi the singer, as well as it was called reggae sauce.
Yeah.
So it started to sell in the local record shops in Brixton. It was the only food item that you would see alongside albums and CDs.
That's so cool.
And selling in the shop. And we did that for quite a long time. And we did the carnival.
Yes, of
course. We did a Notting Hill carnival with it as a family as well too. And this is all before I appeared in Dragon's Den.
Yeah. So then after Dragon's Den, what was the first thing that you were able to do sort of with the investment or with the dragons? How did that change?
Well, the first thing was filling the order that was Sainsbury's had made when I was still making 67 bottles in my kitchen at home.
Oh my goodness.
And Peter and I went to see Justin King. Because Peter did what, you know, the magic that old mentors do, which is make that call.
Yeah.
And he called Justin, his friend, chief of Sainsbury's. You know, what better friend than you?
A useful friend, yeah.
And we went to see Justin and they were having a chat and I was worried that he's going to make an order over 67 bottles. He went on to order 250,000.
Oh, my goodness.
And the first worry to me was, how the hell am I going to get the kids to make that at home?
Going to have so, some more kids.
Yeah, so we had to change the plan instantly from, you know, we weren't expecting that order in that magnitude. Because my plan was to start small, to build a factory and, you know, to start to do some small shops and then to grow the sauce.
Yeah.
But to have Sainsbury's order 250,000 bottles, you can't tell them to wait until the next 6 months.
No.
You better get that ready.
And that's just what everyone always says, isn't it? That whatever they say, you just say yes and then you figure out how to make it happen.
To do it.
I mean, it's a good problem to have.
Well, it's a good thing that you have a great mentor in Peter than I had. And his second call was to AB World Foods, which is a fantastic thing to do. You know, the biggest sauce company, you know, in Europe. That could make the sauce that would be able to fill that order, you know, that we didn't have to say to Justin, excuse me, Justin, you have to wait 6 months for me to build the factory and make the sauce.
Because often you only get one chance.
One chance you get. So we had to quickly turn around and become a licensing brand where the most important thing to us was the Levi Roots license, the brand.
Mm-hmm.
And then we gave that license to AB Royal Foods to create the sauce to be able to fill that order within 3 weeks.
Oh
and
my
within
goodness,
the four, within the 4 weeks, we were outselling Heinz tomato ketchup. We were the biggest selling sauce that was available in Sainsbury's.
That's crazy. Oh my goodness. That's so exciting. Okay, let's take a pause and talk about the third desert island dish of the day.
More food.
And that is the best dish you've ever eaten.
Oh, that's a difficult one. I've had some really, really good food especially over the past 10 years since I've been so lucky to sort of usurp myself into, you know, where I am now as a businessman, as an entrepreneur. I've actually been very, very lucky. But the best dish is every time that I'm ill, I've overworked myself and I go home to my mom.
Yeah.
And she makes that magic chicken soup.
What's her
for
secret?
Me, she used something in Jamaica, we call it chocho.
Okay.
In the chicken soup.
Yeah.
It's really a Jamaican delicacy.
What is it?
The other name for it is called Christophine.
Okay.
And it's a green vegetable, a root vegetable that's shaped like a pear.
Okay.
But it doesn't really have a distinct flavor, but it's used in soups a lot. But it gives it a really lovely texture and flavor.
Yum.
And she's been using that in there forever and a day. And we do that here when I make her version here. It's not as good as my mom, but it's been really, really good. But when I'm healing, when I used to go on tour, I'm back in the day when music was the main thing for me, and I would go on a 6 weeks tour in Europe, and I would come back and not feeling myself. And my mom would make that soup for me, the chicken soup that she called the cure. It would be the most amazing thing that I can remember for a very, very long time. And it would stay with me. And I always tried to make it, but it never turns out.
Never tastes like the same, does it?
I mean, people love my version of it. But to me personally, my mom's will always be the best.
Yeah.
And the last time I had it actually was I just came back from Jamaica 2 weeks ago.
Oh, yeah. I saw that on your Instagram.
Yeah. And I was feeling a little bit after leaving Jamaica and didn't eat before I left. And I had to spend that time. And I don't like the food on the plane.
Yeah.
Which gives me an idea. I got to get some Levi Roots food on airlines. So I came back and I wasn't feeling well. And I went to see my mom. And she cooked the cure for me.
Oh, and instantly you felt
better. Instantly I was fine. And in my head now, it is the best meal that I've had.
Oh my God, it's making me really want some. It sounds delicious. So I know that you said that people in the Caribbean were sort of tempted over to the UK with promises of streets lined with gold.
Yeah.
And obviously the reality is actually far more difficult and testing. And I wondered, is the entrepreneurial spirit something that runs through your family?
Absolutely. You know, that's a really good question, or thought there, because I see my parents as the first entrepreneurs that I ever knew. When I think of it.
Yeah.
When I knew what entrepreneur is, entrepreneurial movements, when I fully understood what it was, because I was giving the accolades to other inspirational people, you know, that inspired me with it. But my mom was in her 20s, you know, when she came over, leaving six kids back in Jamaica. And my father was a young man to come to a whole new strange world, to buy a house within a year.
Oh, what an achievement. That's amazing.
And then start to send for your kids one at a time until you have your whole family here and it's all proper with that, you know, that magical, you know, 2.5 kids in the back and a car up front type
only
of philosophy.
Six
only six this time. But, you know, it's that spirit that's allowed me to think that, wow, that is absolutely amazing. If I can do anything to emulate that with my family, to, you know, to create a business and to educate them and send them through school and then to set their lives, then that could be the most important thing I can do, you know, as a man. So I see that moment, what they did for me, even though I, as a kid, as I said, I didn't really know who they were. It was all about grandma to me.
Yeah.
But what they did, I think it's a real entrepreneurial spirit.
Yeah, it really is. It's amazing. Something I always like to think about is, you know, when you're young and at school, they often do a kind of poll where they ask who's most likely to be prime minister or who's most likely to be famous or most likely to get in trouble. If we could go back in time and poll the 12-year-old friends of Levi, what would they say you would most likely be?
Well, obviously nowadays I get a lot of response back from what they say.
Yeah.
You know that I'm famous because before then I knew nothing about what they said.
Yeah.
I wouldn't want to know what they thought of me back then.
Yeah.
But it's great now that when I read, when I hear comments from my school friends and people who knew me back then, they say that they don't know anybody else that could have done what I did.
Oh, that's so nice.
You know?
Yeah.
They can't think of any of our other friends in school that could sort of go through the stages that I've gone through.
Yeah.
And not just the nicer parts, which is the Dragon's Den part, which is not what they're talking about.
No.
They're talking about the other part when I was in prison and when they thought that I would never come back.
Yeah.
Because at one stage, I had such a long sentence that all my friends were thinking that there is no way they're going to see Levi again. And if they did see me again, I'm going to cut my hair off and I'm going to look like I'm not the person that they know and I'm going to be really be affected by what I went through.
Yeah.
And yet when I did sort of came back to life and back amongst them, I think that's where they see the power of what I was capable of doing, of coming back from what I went through.
It's so impressive.
And still, you know, to come back and create something fantastic. And when I hear them talk, you know, that's what the part that they say, that they don't think that then. I mean, being an entrepreneur, you know, anyone can do that. But it's coming back, you know, from the dead, really.
Yeah.
Clawing your way back up. That's the most
turning things around
part.
Is Absolutely. Really inspiring. Levi, we're going to move on to my favorite question of the day. It's the fourth desert island dish. What is your favorite sandwich?
Oh, it's on the question.
It's a good question, isn't it? Yeah, number four.
Not about that. Sandwich. Well, one thing I don't like is a soggy sandwich.
No. Who likes a soggy sandwich?
I do not like a soggy sandwich. I like a sandwich nice and dry.
Yeah.
I'm not a fan with pickles and that.
Okay.
And when I do have a sandwich, it's normally when I stop at a motorway cafe or somewhere like that.
What would you go for?
The most difficult one is to find a plain cheese sandwich.
I was not expecting you to say that.
Yes, absolutely. Because I don't like pickles and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Right? I'm not a fan of things that I don't know what's in.
Sure.
If I can see you make the sandwich, then I'm fine with you going to chuck a lot of stuff in.
Yeah.
But if I can't see it made, I'd much rather plain one. And you look around and you think, where is the plain cheese sandwich or something?
I guess you get a lot of spice and flavor from your own food, so you can afford to occasionally have a plain cheese sandwich.
But it is boring. It's a boring choice of sandwich for me. I'm not that sort of pilot eye type of sandwich.
Yeah.
I like a nice dry cheese and perhaps some tomato, cheese and tomato.
I think we've got an exclusive there. So you've done so many things and you have so many products ranging from sauces to snacks to seasonings and ready meals. You've written 7 books, released 4 albums, I believe, and you've opened the restaurant that we're sitting in right now. A restaurant. Sure. The list goes on, but I wondered, what is your proudest moment to date?
Wow. I think outselling Heinz tomato ketchup in Sainsbury's is
massive. Incredible.
One of the things that I am very proud about is the charity work that I do. Because everything else is nice and lovely. Anyone can do that and it's nothing, you know. But I do think the stuff that I do with the Prince's Trust has inspired me greatly. I have my own program on the Prince's Trust that we've done for about 8 years now. And it's in Brixton, which is great. And it's a cookery program.
Amazing.
We find, you know, kids that needs to be inspired by food off the streets. And we bring them into the Levi Roos, you know, Cookery Prince's Trust School that we pay for every year. And we have employed, you know, a few here in the restaurant.
That's so cool.
And I think if I'm looking for something that really is inspiring and not saying, oh, you know, I went to South Africa and had a great time and things like that. It is about the Prince's Trust and what we've done in seeing kids, helping them. But it doesn't stop there because I had a lot of help when I was growing up, but nobody carried on further.
Yeah.
And it's the part where we like to try and employ them here in the restaurant.
Yeah.
That's the most inspirational bit for
me. Yeah, sort of following through on the whole thing. Yeah.
Absolutely. So if I were to choose anything proud that I've done, it is that. Lots of other things, but I think as a follow through, Not just saying I can help you, is doing it and seeing them excel themselves and move on and stuff like that. I would choose that as my proudest moment.
That's an amazing proudest moment. So the fifth desert island dish of the day, Levi, what's the dish you eat the most often?
Oh, it's when I'm here. I'm going to have it after I finish.
Okay. What is it?
It's Martinique chicken curry.
Talk us through what that consists of.
It's a fantastic Caribbean curry. We know curry is usually a sort of Indian, but this is one that's inspired by Indian flavors.
Okay.
And it's from Martinique. And normally when you think of the Caribbean, you don't normally throw Martinique in.
No.
You think of Barbados and Jamaica and Trinidad and that sort of stuff. But this is a fantastic country and it has a great way of using fruits in the curry.
Yum.
And this particular Martinique chicken curry has mangoes in it and papaya and it has tamarind as well. So it's a brilliant flavor. It takes you one moment to a very sweet area of the fruits in there, the mango,
and
the papaya. And then in another spoonful, it takes you into the nice sort of exotic, nice taste of the tamarind in there. So
kind of sweet and salty.
Sweet and salty and sour at the same time. So I have that more than I have anything else here when I come into
I mean, I can see why. That sounds absolutely delicious. Being such a successful businessman, you must get asked for advice all the time. And I know you even have a business book called You Can Get It If You Really Want, which I love. Great title, by the way. But what is your advice to anyone wanting to start their own business? And is there anything that you wish you'd known earlier on?
Well, the advice is to really know the market that you're going into. I think most people will already have an idea of what they want to do.
Yeah.
And they have that entrepreneurial spirit. Those are not the ones I'm going after. I'm kind of going after what happens after that.
Yeah.
And it's the staying focused on the job ahead, which again, as a young person, one of the most difficult things to do is to be focused.
Yeah.
You want to do so many things.
Yeah.
There's so many people coming at you telling you that you should do this, you should do that. You turn your TV on and it's telling you that, no, you shouldn't be doing that. You should be doing this.
Yeah.
You turn the radio on and so on. And influence is coming from everywhere. Your key job is to try to stay focused on the most important thing that you feel that you're ready for.
Yeah.
And it's finding out what that is and doing your research in the market so that you know about exactly what you're facing. Sometimes we go into business just because of passion.
Yes. Yeah.
And I've seen a lot of people do that. You're passionate about something. If you, well, that's what I want. You haven't done your research. You don't know whether or not you could fit within that market.
Yeah.
You're just passionate about it and you go ahead and you file it, you fail.
You need passion, but it's not enough on it alone.
It's not, you've got to educate yourself about whatever it is that you're doing so that the passion works for you.
Yeah.
You know, the passion will work for you if you're very confident about your market, about what you're doing. You've been out there, you've done all your market research, and you know exactly down what route you're going down.
Yeah.
That's when the passion and the focus becomes everything works together.
Yeah.
So that would be my greatest advice. For me, if I could look at my younger self now and sort of give an advice back then, it would be about focusing, I would say.
Yeah.
Because when I was growing up in Brixton as a young boy, I never see anybody come around in Brixton to inspire me looking like Levi.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's very important.
Yeah, it's hard to aspire to be something if you can't see it.
If you can't see
it. Yeah.
And no one ever came that I can feel I could really trust this person to stop me from doing the bad boy thing that I was doing that used to make me all right.
Yeah.
And not say, come over on the other side. So for me, it would be stay focused on what you want. But then I would hope that somebody, I would find a mentor like Peter. Like how Peter has came into me.
Yes.
And allowed me to be who I am. You know, he didn't say, oh, you need to change. Or your rasters can't fit into business. You probably need to look like a nice, smooth boy.
My goodness, I'm so glad he didn't say that. That would have been awful.
And his key thing was be you, be yourself, be who you are. That's what I'm investing in. I'm not investing in reggae sauce.
Yeah.
That's just the product. I'm investing in you. I would have loved to have met someone like that.
Yeah. Well, it sounds like you are being that person for other people, which is amazing. Now, moving on to the sixth Desert Island dish of the day. What is your go-to dinner party dish?
Oh, my God. Patties.
Ooh.
Yeah.
What kind of patties?
Well, all different flavors.
Okay.
All different meat flavor, lamb, vegetable patties. All kind. I think when you're talking about parties, you're talking about dry foods in my party. You don't want anything wet like curries that you're going to be worried about splashing around.
Okay.
It's always sort of dried food, whether it's some nice spicy chicken wings and things like that.
Are you doing them on the barbecue?
On the barbecue, or you can do them in your grill or in your oven at home. But patties is perhaps the Caribbean greatest fast food.
Yum.
And it's a bit like the pasty, really. Okay. But it's a smaller version of the pasty. And you can, as I said, do all sort of filling on the inside. But it's a nice dry food that you can do all your dancing around. And you've got a patty in your hand. And you're dancing and having a nice... It's nothing that you're going to have with a spoon or you're going to sit on anything. Because my party is always music playing.
Okay, yes. So you don't have any quiet moments. Around with cutlery.
Absolutely not. You just need something dry, like a chicken wing or something that you can actually eat.
Yes.
A nice spicy chicken wing or some lovely Jamaican patties would be my go-to party.
Dinner party at Levi Roots sounds awesome. So I believe you still live in Brixton.
I do, yeah.
And you were given the keys to Brixton Market a few years ago, which is such a huge honour and very exciting. But I wondered, where are your favourite places to eat in Brixton?
There's quite a few.
Yeah.
Well, there was quite a few because Brixton is a bit changed.
It's
now.
Changed so much. I know.
So changed, you know. I love change.
You feel quite
myself.
Sad about.
Well, you know, you gotta be careful when you ask for change. Because change is relentless.
Yeah.
You know, you can't say, oh, hang on a minute, don't change anymore. Stop where you are there.
Yeah.
You ask for change and you got to accept where it is. And I remember when Brixton, everyone was crying out for change.
Yeah.
Back in the days of the riots and when Brixton represented for violence and drug selling and that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
I don't want it to go back to where it was.
No.
But I think the only thing that I miss about Brixton is that the Brixtonians don't have a say in what's happening in Brixton now.
Yeah.
When I say the Brixtonians, I mean those who are an essential part of Brixton. When you look who owns the businesses now in Brixton, it's not the Brixtonians
no.
who owns the businesses. You know, it's still them walking around and spending the money, but they don't have a say in what happens
yeah,
to the business.
Yeah, such a shame.
Where it, that's where it used to be back in the
yeah.
day. So I think that's one of the worst parts. But there are still some very good places there to eat.
Yeah.
Bambula is there, which is a lovely restaurant on Acre Lane.
Okay.
It's nice and lovely.
What kind of food is that?
It's Caribbean.
Caribbean.
But it's more like a rural cuisine as well.
Too. Yeah.
And now, the best thing about the market is these little sort of eateries that's in the market.
Yeah, that's so good, aren't they?
It's fantastic. Even though I still would love to see, you know, the big fish stuff and what the market used to be.
Yeah.
But when that closes off in the daytime and now when you go after 6 o'clock, it opens up and you see some nice, like, lovely niches here selling some lovely food.
Yeah.
I love that. When you have a friend or you go out and you just want to do, just skip along. You just have a bite here, skip to the next one, have a bite there.
Yeah.
Have a glass of Prosecco there and move on and try everyone. It's a lovely feeding.
It's
I love
the
doing
best.
That.
Right. Levi, we're on to the final dish of the day. And that is the last dish you would eat before being cast off to the desert island.
Oh, well, that's easy. Okay. You've left your last of these. But if I'm going to go on a desert island, I'm going to want like a nice big food. I'm
going to
want something that would be lasting me as long as possible.
You're speaking my language.
Yes. So I'm going to be having jerk chicken, rice and peas, with a side order of coleslaw
yes.
and some plantain.
Oh my goodness, that's an amazing
that's
last
a big
dish.
Meal. That's like yeah. a proper big Sunday meal that you have that, you know, like, you know, wow, can I finish this? But because you know you're going on a desert.
You're going to finish it.
You're definitely going to finish
it. From hell or high water.
And that's going to last you long. Yeah.
And you're allowed to take one luxury item with you. What are you going to take?
Oh, again, that's an easy. I'd have to take my guitar with me.
Oh, obviously.
Absolutely. To inspire me, you know, the food will fill me up and I'll be feeling nice. But I'm going to need a little bit of inspiration just to keep me going.
Yeah.
To think about my son, Christopher, and think about my other kids and everybody. So I would have to have my guitar.
Great answer. I'm not worried about you at all on the desert island. I think you're going to be fine writing your next
Absolutely.
Album. Thank you so much, Levi Roots, for letting us hear your desert island dishes.
Lovely.
Oh my goodness, Levi's final desert island dish sounds like complete heaven. My fiance actually makes an incredible jerk chicken with a coconut rice. So I'm going to have to get him to cook that for me this weekend because it's all I can think about. I love the sound of the porridge that his grandmother used to make. And I mean, I just thought there were so many interesting and inspiring nuggets in there. So I hope you enjoyed that too. Don't forget to check out the website, desertislanddishes.co, to see which recipe has been inspired by Levi's Desert Island Dishes. And I will see you next time for another exciting episode. In the meantime, come and say hello on Instagram. You'll find me at Made by Margie. Have a very happy weekend. Bye.